Well, good morning. I really am so excited to be here today and sharing with you. It's been a while, actually, since I got to share a word with you, and so I am excited to do that. And this message is actually, it's about a month in the works, because I got the idea, and it started working in my brain for a while, and then it really has come, it came together this last week as I was really just praying over this time and what God would have me share with you and what we all need to hear as a church. So thank you for being here and supporting me, but I'm just really honored to be in this place, honored to be a part of this body. Before I start, I know we just prayed, but I'm going to pray just to calm me down. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the rain and what a gift that was for me this morning, but also for all of us. I pray that you would be in this space, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would speak to each of us and that you would allow my words to be your words, Father. And I pray that that you would just calm me and bring me peace and allow me to deliver your word this morning. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we've been talking about being a healthy church really since the beginning of spring. Pastor Dan started a new sermon series about healthy missional church living, and we've been working through these 10 markers of what it means to be a healthy church and to live that out. And I've really appreciated the service or this series because it's been some practical application, but also some checkpoints and some markers to help the pastors and the staff and all of us who are in leadership at Cascade, you know, work through, are we doing healthy church living? And I love that because I'm a strategy person and I'm a process person, and I can appreciate a good organizational structure. There's some weird feedback. Is there a way we can make that disappear? Okay, so he's been preaching on these organizational structures, and if you missed it, I would encourage you to podcast. It's part one of the organizational structures, and I loved it because Pastor Dan worked through this vision and the mission of Cascade. And at Cascade Covenant, we are here to make and deepen disciples in a healthy missional church. And then he walked through some different pieces of what, how do we actually do that, and what does that actually look like. And we do this by being sticky. Some of you have heard that term before. Being a place where people come back to or they want to be, but where people can connect with each other and they can connect with God. We talked about serving as a greenhouse where the climate and the ingredients are perfectly matched to equip people and send them out and help them grow. And as a plant person, I can really attach to that idea of a greenhouse. But then also a launching pad for kingdom ministry into our community and into our world. That these are the things that we are. We're sticky. We want to be a sticky. We want to be a greenhouse, and we want to be a launching pad. And as that strategy person, listening to that message, I just started thinking about all the different things that we could do. But he talked about riding the wave, and that we want to ride the wave because Cascade Covenant is poised for growth. We are going to be growing in the next few years because our community is growing. And so how are we being prepared to do that? But during the message, Dan said something really specific that kind of caught my ear and made me like, huh, that's interesting. I had never heard it. And he said that life is done best in circles and not rows, that circles are better than rows. And so I started doing some research, and it started with a quick text to Pastor Dan saying, hey, was that a Danism, or did you hear that from somewhere else? And he's like, oh, no, that's an Andy Stanley thing. And I was surprised that I hadn't heard it because I love myself some Andy Stanley. And so I was surprised that I hadn't heard that. But since he coined the phrase, it made me, you know, think a little bit more about, okay, well, maybe that's something that I want to dive into when I get to share with Cascade in a few weeks, because it's all about connecting and being a part of a church. And so it's pretty fitting, because the associate pastor role really will be about connecting the adults, the adult ministry here at Cascade, whether it's men, women, marriage, and everywhere in between. How can we connect to one another? And during the interview process that I went through leading up to today, one of the questions that the team asked that I actually really liked and have been kind of expanding on in my brain was, what was one of the goals or your measures of success? Like, what's something that you're going to measure success by? And I responded that I would really like to see every person at Cascade Covenant connected to to more than one person or one family. I would like everybody here to be known, truly known, by more than one person and one family. And I think that that can happen, and I'm excited about that. And it might be that that might be like a small goal, but I want it to be more than knowing somebody's name or cheating by looking at somebody's name tag, although those are really nice. But I really want us to be able to truly dive into who we are. Author Tim Keller wrote, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretenses, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. To be known." That's what that means. Being known is a key ingredient to kingdom life. And so today we're going to primarily flesh out really what it means. What does it mean that circles are better than rows? But rows also have a place. And so I did want to say that today. You know, right here in this room where we are all sitting in our neat little rows, this is really important. It's really important to attend church. Understanding that life has seasons and our personal attendance may ebb and flow through those seasons, we still need to make this space, this time, a priority in our lives. And because this church building is a place that we come to worship God and encourage one another. We're a gathering of people who come to worship the living God together, right? To learn about and to live out the teachings of Jesus. To stand for justice and to stand for mercy, to stand for those who are oppressed, for the orphans, for the widows, to stand against hate, like what's happening in Virginia this weekend, to love the world and to shine the light of Christ. The church is deep and it's wide, with people all over the world from different countries and different cultures, communities. But we come together to worship the one true God. And it's pretty great. It's pretty great that we get to do that. So as a follower of Jesus, we should feel a void when this is missing. And in our own lives, we actually have experienced that this summer. Like many Pacific Northwesterners, when the sun is out, oftentimes our schedules get packed full of fun adventures. And there was a period this summer where we missed church 3 weeks in a row. That's a lot. That's a lot. But I know that I'm not alone, right? Can I get an amen? Okay, so we missed church for 3 weeks in a row. And you know what? We missed it. The kids missed Sunday school. Ellie was asking about what they did, all the fun things, because, you know, during the summer, the kids aren't supposed to wear their church clothes. They're supposed to wear clothes that they can get messy because they have fun back there. Tom and I miss seeing you guys. We miss seeing our friends. We miss seeing everybody. And we felt that void because we were missing our church. We were missing attending church on a Sunday morning. Because here, right here in this room, in these rows, it's important. But we also need to circle up into smaller circles of people. And don't worry, I'm not going to make the rows all stand and hold hands and sing kumbaya. That would be awkward, even for an extrovert. But that's really what it's about. It's about how we as a church can divide into smaller circles of people so that we can better love each other and better learn from each other. Because it is a felt need. We need to be in circles together. And there are hundreds of passages in Scripture that talk about being together, being community, what does it look like to do life together. Since the beginning, in Genesis, we learn about it, that God created us to be in community with one another. And it's all throughout the Bible. God created us to be in, to live in, to grow in, and to thrive in community. And the book of Acts is a story that it kind of all begins with the early church. This is right after Jesus died and rose from the dead, and he's no longer here, and the disciples have no idea what's happening. They're so nervous. They're so scared. But they're together. And so little bands of believers gather together into house churches, and that's where they find community. And so we're going to be reading out of Acts 2 today. Acts 2:42. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. Otherwise, it'll be up on the screen. Let me find it here. Acts 2:42. Let me read it for you. It says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and the many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That's what we're doing. Maybe not every day, but meeting in the temple courts in the church. They broke bread together in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So corporately, they were getting together in rows, but they were also in their homes together in circles. And this is the context that the Lord grew the church. It's in both of these. He added to their number daily because of both of these together. Personal growth, people coming to faith, and then that's what explodes the church when people come to faith. A row is attending church, but a connection, a different connection happens when we are in smaller circles together. So what exactly is a circle? I mean, really, you could define it however you want, but I'm going to give you some ideas so that you have some ideas to go from. A Bible study would be a circle. There are Facebook groups that would be considered circles, probably not Facebook as a whole, but the smaller groups that you whittle down into. We actually experienced this with Team World Vision. We had a Facebook group that we posted stuff on, and that was true community. Also, Pastor Dan was lying when he said I liked fitness. That's not a real thing. Just to make sure that's true, I forgot to say that. It reminded me of that. Maybe it's connecting with people who have a shared experience with you or shared interests. For my husband, it's anybody who wants to do anything outdoors and huntsman-like and hunter-gatherer type things. It's serving together. It's joining a community group. Or maybe it's just a group of your friends that you're all at the same life stage, but you all love Jesus and can encourage each other. It's a mentor relationship. That's a circle. It's the life-to-life, face-to-face stuff. It's doing life together, opening God's word, praying for each other, praying for our kids. It's stumbling through life. It's helping marriages get back up again. As the people of God, we are the living church. Living, breathing, serving, loving, walking alongside one another. And it's in this context together that we do witness spiritual growth, discipleship, and formation. And that's exciting to think about. For the rest of our time, we're going to be talking about what are some things that happen in circles. Why are circles actually important? So we know what circles are. We know that we need them, maybe, but I'm going to talk about why we need them and what happens in them. And I did come up with a couple funny things. So the three things are access, attachment, and accountability. Those can happen when we're in a circle. And there's a lot of A's in there. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should tell a joke. And I know you're not supposed to say it's a joke leading into the joke, but I'm just going to tell you because they're not really that funny. So, So triple A, circles are when you need them most. They're there when you need them. AARP, circles help you age well. There's all different things that you could go for. But, okay, back to the topic at hand. Circles give us access to one another. We get to know people when we're in circles. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own selves. Because you have become very dear to us," to share our own selves, our lives with each other. When we give people access, that's what happens. We get to share our own selves with them. Andy Stanley, in his sermon on rows and circles, he says that the drift toward sinful behavior and destructive behavior and thoughts begins within. So we have to let someone in. It begins within, so we have to let people in so that we don't drift. And circling up does this, whether it's in that community group or in a ministry team where you're serving together, or maybe it's just monthly dinners with your girlfriends or guy friends. It's gaining access to people, and their lives become accessible when we do that, and ours do in return. And so then when you ask questions like, "How are you?" you get beyond the "I'm fine" answers, right? You get beyond that. You can be more authentic. You can be transparent. And you can be honest. You can be brutally honest with people. You can say things like, "You know what? I'm actually really struggling with depression." Or, "My marriage isn't what it once was, and I don't know what to do about it." Or, "My kids are driving me crazy, and I can't wait for school to start." Amen, right? You know, those are the things that you can share with people, or even the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm more likely to share the good with people as well when I'm in a circle with them and I know that I can trust them, not just the hard stuff, but we can celebrate the birth of babies or promotions or purchasing houses. We can get excited when our kids hit milestones together and we can celebrate anniversaries. That's what it means to be accessible, to do life with people, to let someone into your life and really walk with them in that life. And unfortunately, this type of community doesn't happen on a Sunday morning. There's no way for everybody in this room to be that close with one another, but we can for sure be close to one another in smaller circles. So again, a circle is really any number of space where you interact with the people of God, where you can connect with one another. You know, Dan talked this morning about how in the next couple weeks there's going to be a lot of opportunities to serve, and you're going to be hearing more about those, and you're actually going to be able to sign up for them. And it's going to be great because you're going to sign up for them, right? But there's so many different things, because when you serve as a teacher, when you serve as a teacher in the back with the kids, that's a circle. You're connected to the parents of those kids in a new and different way. You know, Miss Randy is Ellie's teacher back there. And honestly, I asked her if she could move up with Ellie to the next year because I want her to do that. I've tried to get the Grzaskis to get out of preschool and they won't do it for me. But it's because you get close to people because they're in your circle. They're influencing your kids and they're part of that. So you are part of that. The welcome team is another example. The hospitality team. These are all different things that you can get connected to, because that's a circle. Circles also happen in situations like mission trips, like the Ecuador trip or a Uganda trip. Things happen when you grow together and you experience things together in a new and different way, and you're connected to those people in a new and a different way. And for me, I've really noticed as I was thinking about it, the biggest connection happens when my circles kind of overlap, when I do more than one thing with one person, if that makes sense. So, you know, I might serve here at the church, and I might know somebody here at church, but they become part of my circle when I expand outside of that. Maybe I serve with them at the food bank, or I serve with them or walk beside them in a different setting. And so you kind of figure out where your circles interact and who's in your circle. That's the question that we need to be asking, and how do we expand those circles? When we open ourselves up and become accessible to one another, access happens, and that's where that connection can start. And when we have access to each other, we become attached to people. Circles help us attach to one another. We come to count on people. We come to trust people. We love them in a new and different way. We get past neighborly love, that's what we're called to love everybody, but we can get to brother-sister love, where we really care for them on a new and different level. And when this happens, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us, and it's a really good thing for the world to see. In John 13, Jesus talks about this, and he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all the people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." All the people will know that you are my disciples by the way that we love each other. And that's what it's all about, love. It really, the whole Bible breaks down to love God and love people. That's what it's about. Christianity, following Jesus, the Jesus way, at its core, is about loving one another and loving God. And when we spend time together learning, praying, reading, laughing, crying, challenging, you get attached to people. You trust them in a new way and care for them. After college, I shared earlier, I went to Arkansas, and it was a journey. And I often joke that the culture shock that I experienced in Arkansas, I've been all over the world, but the culture shock that I experienced there was far deeper and far harder than anywhere I had ever been before. And you would think, wait a minute, that doesn't really make too much sense, because I was still in the United States, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it is a big country, but I was still in the U.S. But it's amazing how different it was. It's really hard for me to even describe the difference in culture to you guys. So much so, actually, that when I can't remember if I made Tom read the book, but it's one of my favorite books. It's called Foreign to Familiar, and it talks about the different cultures of people and how people can really be so unique when it comes to time, when it comes to relationships, all the different things. But it was really different for me to be down there, different from the Pacific Northwest, different from the Midwest and Chicago. And it was really hard. And looking back, it was hardest, I think, because I came from this college environment where everybody's all up in everybody's business because you're just in it, to only knowing one person. I only knew Tom. I was really lonely. And I struggled to connect with the girls in Arkansas for a variety of different reasons, but I just really struggled to connect with them. Outside the church, I felt like I connected with no one. I had no friends outside of the church. However, we did attend a local church, and ultimately I came on staff there, and we did connect with a few people that we served with, but most of we served in the college ministry, so most of them were either college students who were younger than us, or they were older than us because they were the pastors and the staff that I served with. Okay? I can honestly say that it was one of the hardest couple years of my whole life. And there was a lot of tearful conversations and phone calls back home to my mom and my sister because I didn't know what to do. I was so lonely. And when we moved to Washington, Tom and I immediately joined a small group here, a community group here at Cascade. And today, the original group is no longer meeting together on a daily or a weekly basis. But there are people that I can count on. And some of those people are my best friends. And I remember how nervous I was the first time. It seems real silly now because these people, I'm close with them. But I was so nervous the first time that I went to the community group because I didn't know these people and they didn't know me. And if they knew me, they knew like the high school Lindsay, not the like adult Lindsay. You know, I was a different person. It seems silly. And I'm not naive enough to think that every community group and every small group leads to best friend relationships because it doesn't. That's not true. We will be closer with some people than we are with other people, and that's okay. But the truth is that we all need people at church, in this body, in the greater body of Christ, who have access to our lives so that we can attach to them and we can trust them with real life. And as a church, if we can get to this place where all of us are known and we know each other, because we're either serving together, or we are in a community group, or we're just good friends around a common interest. This church, this body of believers, will flourish and thrive. It'll be contagious, and it will be a place where we want to invite everybody else to join in. But we'll thrive and we'll flourish because relational care is far more important than pastoral care. I mean, that might sound crazy because I'm going to be a pastor, but that's true, though. Relational care among each other is way better than pastoral care because the most difficult situations for a pastor to speak into are the ones where people aren't connected. So let's connect. Let's circle up. So finally, circles help us be accountable as we learn and we grow and thrive together. So in Hebrews chapter 12, that's our verse for this one. It says, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as that has been a habit of some, but encouraging one another. When we are in a circle, we push each other and encourage one another towards love, good deeds, and good things. When we are together, we push each other towards those things. When Tom and I first had Ellie, the reality hit that we needed a circle, right? That we needed our circle of people. And honestly, every day as a parent of two, I know the importance of expanding that circle of influence and inviting people into our lives, not just for me and Tom's sake, but also for our kids' sake. And having a circle of people who are doing life with me, challenging me, it's changed so much. Adulting is hard. Parenting is harder because it really brings out all the things that you don't want to be brought out and brought to light. But it's really great, but it is so hard. Reggie Joyner, who's the founder of Orange, one of the founders of Orange, which is the lessons that we teach our kids, the strategy that we have for our children's ministry here at Cascade. He says this, God never intended life to be lived in isolation. And what's true of individuals is also true of families. We have been called to live as part of a much wider circle, God-engineered community, to help us all parent beyond our capacity. Tom and I believe this so much that when we had both of our kids dedicated here at church, this was the quote that we put on their prayer card. Because we wanted people to know that you're our circle. You are our people that can come alongside us and help us raise our kids. And there's some pictures. I mean, aren't they cute? They're so much bigger now. That's when I was doing this. I was like, oh, man, but those were their prayer cards. And on the back of them, it had this quote. And we basically just asked people to join into our circle because we knew that we would need it. We cannot do life on our own, and each of us need that circle. And with life and with parenting, I do depend on people to hold me accountable, to encourage me and to push me to be better and to grow as a human, but also as a follower of Jesus, as a mom, as a wife, and as a friend. And when I do this, I know that I'm not only going to be able to parent beyond my capacity, though that's a real thing, I also will live beyond my capacity because I'll be living into what God has best for me. And I can thrive. Church life, the follower of a follower of Jesus, is done in both rows and circles. They're both important, but we do need those circles so that we can go deeper together. And as a church, we do need to not only attend church for corporate worship, all right? We need to give and gain access to each other so that we can attach and grow to love one another and ultimately hold each other accountable when life gets hard. And push each other towards God and towards one another. We all have a part in this. You know, we are one church, one body with many parts, many different everything, many different people, but also skills and experience and stories. But we all have a part in it because this is our family. And as a family, we are called to live life together as we follow Jesus. So, how do we connect? How do we find our circle, wherever it may be? How do we find a circle of people at school or at work or wherever God has us? I would encourage you to step out on a ledge and be brave. That's honestly what it starts with. It often starts with that one step of being brave. I mean, really, I was so nervous the first time we went to the community group. And I look at these people now and I'm like, why was I nervous? But it was nerve-wracking. I have another girlfriend who did that. You know, it's the same thing. You just step out and you put yourself into a situation that might be uncomfortable for you, but God's best for you. And over the next couple weeks, I really want us all to take stock of what are our circles. Where are we already connected? And can we expand that circle? Or maybe we're not feeling connected at all. And we know what it means for this to be missing. There's lots of opportunities at Cascade Covenant. And as we launch into kickoff season, kickoff Sunday, over the next month, we're going to be kicking off a new season of life here and a new season of ministry. And I would encourage all of us to step out of our comfort zones because it'll be worth it. You might not get some instant gratification. I know we're a culture that appreciates that sometimes. But it might not be instant gratification, but it is what God wants for us. And it is best for us to do that in the long run. When we have access to people, love and trust and accountability are built. Lives change and care happens, not only here, but out in the community as well. When we understand that there's a difference between being part of a church and being the church, it changes our perspective. We are no longer just attending something, but we're part of something. We're part of the body of Christ. And when this happens, when we realize that we're part of something, it begins to matter. It begins to matter when I miss 3 weeks, you know, at the beginning or at the summer, right? It begins to matter because I start to miss you guys and I start to miss this community that we've built. So my challenge for us today is to circle up. Sounds like it's a country song. Got to circle up. Make your church, make this body of believers, our people, matter to you. Make it personal and give access where it hasn't been so that we can grow to love one another. And ultimately, when that happens, we will see kingdom impact. Jesus says again, I want to read this to you. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all the people will know that you are my disciples, that you love me, that you care about me, that you are my people, if you love one another. That's what he says, and I think that that's what we can do. Pray with me. Father God, we are your people, and we are so blessed to call this church home and to have amazing people right here that can speak truth and life into our lives. I pray, Father, that you will encourage and prompt and push each of us into circles around us, whether it's a new circle that we have not yet stepped into, whether it's a circle that we're in but we're not really being true to ourselves and being open about who we are and what we struggle with, or maybe it's a circle that we already have and we care so much about, but I pray that you would take us even deeper. Father God, we are all coming from different places this morning, and I pray that you would meet us in each place that we are and encourage us and challenge us. So thankful for this body of believers, for my own self, Father, and I am so blessed to be part of it. And I pray that you will help us grow so that we can invite more people here, that we can become a welcoming church, that people can tell that we love you and we love one another. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Dan.